don't have to give me permission for anything.
No, I do. I give you permission to record before you actually enter the call. I quickly press the three dots and go make co-host.
Oh.
And I'm getting so good at it that you don't even notice now.
Oh, wow. I should have realized that like 4 episodes ago.
That's how I roll. I'm just.
I've got a really good idea. We should start the episode with actual content about something rather than us talking about us.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to fucking do a podcast after 123 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just one idea. You got a beer?
Yeah, I do. I'm drinking independent this evening.
Same.
What do you got?
I've got one of these little bad boys. Little brewery down the road you might have heard of.
Ah, a little bit of a medic American pale ale.
That's the one. What do you got?
I've got one that's not even going to touch the sides because I've had a few of these before, and that's the big issue with it.
Okay.
So I've got the Young Henry's Classic Premium.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait, let me get a little screenshot here. Oh, whoop, there we go. Love it.
And this one is a BWS and Uncle Dan's Classic, and even with this dirty glass, it still maintains its head. So
they have that little sort of thing at the counter there with those ones, don't they?
I love it. I think it's a great beer.
It's a good beer. It's tasty.
I bought a carton and don't even remember drinking it. I didn't drink it all in one sitting, but you just drink a six pack of it and it's like, whew, gone.
Nothing. No, I bought Great Northerns today.
Yeah. How did that go?
Well, so we're going away next week. Actually, I might put this here. That sound is probably not very good.
That sounds way better.
Yeah, that should sound a fair bit better.
You sound more professional.
More a bit sultry, but a AMS. Yeah, a little bit. SN, I don't really know the
ASMR. Yes, very ASMR.
And I tell you about my week away next week. No. So I'm going away next week, and we're going to leave some beers behind for the team. And I know
you got 4 who are there. 2 don't drink. 1 is an ex brewer from Burley who loves a lager, which you would expect.
Yes.
And the other only drinks Great Northern. So
you know, your voice went back to tinny again now. I don't know what happened.
Fuck's sake. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do about that.
My computer mustn't like the ASMR.
Oh, is that true? AirPods. Oh, you know why? Microphone has switched.
Try this. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's better.
That's the Rode mic right there. If it happens again, you'll notice it. That's way good better to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so we're leaving him. I found a lager, Japanese lager of some sort for Byron, and I almost took one for the podcast night, but I thought that's a bit stingy and leave him 5 beers.
Mm-hmm.
And Great Northern. Apparently, I have to choose between different versions of Great Northern, which I wasn't prepared for, but I went with the crisp, super crisp or some shit.
Yep, that's the way.
That's it. How have you been? Where have you been, actually, is a better question.
Been to Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam and Bangkok, Thailand.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good little trip. I got invited up by Charles and Kat Gurrier from Brew Asia Conference. And so they do these tech sessions, which are like these one-day sessions all over Asia. So they've done a few in India, Japan, Korea, and Vietnam and Bangkok. And so, it was just a good opportunity to head up there and go and check out the scene without, because I was there. I was in Ho Chi Minh for Brew Asia last year. I was in Bangkok the year before for Brew Asia conference.
What's the conference like? Is this like a massive conference or is it like an indies type size BrewCon type thing?
No. It's just a one-day thing. So in Ho Chi Minh City, we had about 20 people. In Bangkok was about 50, 55. Yeah. So just a single room, whole bunch of talks throughout the day. on varying topics, and good time is up by all. Go have a beer afterwards, you know.
That's amazing. So that's a pretty prestigious thing to be able to fly to another country for a small event like that.
Yeah, it was good. Good, very much an honor to go and fly up there and that sort of thing. I didn't realize that I was such a fucking big deal in Thailand, though.
Oh, nice. Rockstar.
It's like everyone's going, Hendo. Like, oh.
Now, is that all because of the podcast or just a small
YouTube,
amount?
YouTube. YouTube. They were watching YouTube because the funny thing is in Thailand, the liquor licensing laws are absolutely wild, right? And so
yeah, they're weird.
You can open a brew pub. You can only open a brew pub if you own a certain amount of land. It's not the land where you're going to build the brewery. You just need to own a certain area of land.
Okay.
And then depending upon the amount of land that you own, depends and gives you the permission to build a brew pub with a certain amount of horsepower.
Wow.
And so the horsepower being the energy that runs the brewery, which kind of dictates the size of it and that sort of thing.
Like the electrical
and then,
energy.
Yeah, and steam and all that sort of stuff all adds up.
Wow.
And then if you're a brew pub, you can't can your beer and sell it.
Yes, I knew about that one.
That's verboten. So all the brew pubs, what they do is they contract brewery. There's one contract brewery in Thailand, but most of them get their beer contract brewed in Vietnam and import it. And that's the way they get around the laws, you know. The home brewing is illegal, but there's all these underground illegal breweries that sell their beer.
Yes. I experienced that in China.
Yeah. And so, it was really interesting. Like, so basically there's a thriving homebrew scene that just goes commercial because they just don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to get caught. And if you get caught, it's just like a little bit of this and it's all looked after. And, you know, it's fascinating stuff. Right. It's just
interesting.
It's just this, all these different regulations just to protect the wealthy families that own Chang and Singer beer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this doesn't sound all that different to Australia, to be honest.
True. That's fair.
It's a bit more overtly direct with it all, but yeah. Interesting. And what was the sake situation? What country wasn't it? Why are we drinking sake in fucking
Vietnam? That's all I fucking drunk in Vietnam.
Why?
I drunk so much sake.
Do they drink sake a lot there?
No, I just happened to get dragged to places that were serving sake.
Why?
It's just we happened to go. Like on the first night I got there, we went up to this Japanese restaurant.
Okay.
Drinking sake. And then on the day the party after the conference, that sort of thing, we're at this place in I think it's District 1 called Beer Craft, and
I like what they've done with that name. It's
spelled BIA.
Okay.
Craft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. That changes.
That's how they spell beer.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's
well,
beer.
That doesn't change
it's
anything
beer.
Then. All right.
Yeah. So that's how they spell it. And then I met this very loud. I can't remember his name. Very loud, very boisterous, and he and I just started giving each other shit straight away, and it got pretty rude straight away. He reminded me of like my good mate Duncan. We just give each other so much stick, and people just listen to us talk to each other and go, this guy's friends. It's like, yeah. And so I after talking to him and calmed down a little bit and that sort of thing, it was all good fun. And he goes, oh, my place is a couple of doors down. So what do you do? He goes, oh, head brewer of a sake brewery. And I went, fuck yeah, let's go. So all like 50 of us got up and
what nationality went. Is this guy?
American.
Oh yeah. A lot of American expats there.
Yeah, quite a few expats.
Yeah.
Yep. We just walked down the couple of doors to this sake brewery and they were doing like sake cocktails. And did you see the video in my stories? Like it was just
Well,
same thing
again.
We're just like the same as fucking Korea. They're just like stacking up shot glasses.
Yeah, I was waiting for
some
shit to smash like last time.
Ah, yeah. Well, shit smashed, and that's just what they do. So I was just drinking sake cocktails, and then God knows that. Oh,
did you sing him? I'd love to have a sake with Duncan. Did you sing him that song?
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I went to this place that was full of like all the girls in there were dressed in red dresses. It was very strange.
I don't want to do any editing on this podcast, Hendo. No, so I'm just going to stop you right there.
It's not. I wasn't that sort of unscrupulous place. But it was like that's just what all the girls were wearing there, and I was like, I don't really like it here. So we went around to it. We found a club, and I went to a club, and that was good.
Look, I feel like we're veered off track with this beer conversation.
Don't know how I got home, and it was good. Brilliant. So it's such a good time though. But I tell you what, it's like in Ho Chi Minh City. I would seriously consider living there. It's the scooter capital of the world, right? When there is no scooters in Seoul, all of the scooters are in Ho Chi Minh City. And it's great to get around on scooter. You get the app. It's like Uber, but it's like called Grab, but it's like Uber, except it's a scooter.
Okay.
And anywhere in the city pretty much costs like a dollar.
And what's the general costings of things? Is it still cheap as shit over there?
Food's cheap, beer's cheap.
If you go to like a corner place with the milk crates out the front and you get like beer?
Yep, some street food. Beers are probably a couple of dollars, $2 or something.
Yeah.
Food, you get a good feed for $5 to $10 tops.
Yeah.
At a nice place, you know. It's just pretty cheap. I suppose rent would be cheap too. I would live there, but not just yet, you know, and that sort of thing. But certainly would consider living there.
Long term plan.
Yeah, just get myself a scooter. A bit wild though. I found a gym near to the hotel. So I wanted to go to the gym. And I walked in and found the gym, went for a bit of a recce mission first, looked at it, and went, yeah, that looks pretty good. And then went and grabbed my big gear and walked back. And I'm doing workouts, doing upper day, right? And I was on the bench press and Cohen, my personal trainer's got me doing split box. So you do like one exercise and then you swap over to another exercise and then do that three sets, you know, and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing bench press and some sort of fucking row thing, right? And so I'm on the bench press. I had my towel on the bench press. I had some weights on the bench, you know, like my water bottle sitting there, and I was off on the rowing machine. So you could tell that like there was somebody using the bench press, and there was more than one bench press, right?
Okay.
And while I was gone, someone grabbed one of the weights off one side of the bar, right? And not all of them, just one of the two weights that was on there, took one off on one side and went and fucked off and used it for himself. Didn't know who it was because he did it while I was away. But luckily I spotted it because otherwise I would have lifted this thing and gone,
oh my God.
Like
that's...
I'm like, who the fuck does that? It's like my towels.
Were they short on weights?
Well, to be honest, the weights were not very well kept. They were all like all the barbell weights were just strewn all over the place, and all the dumbbells were all over the place. And it's interesting because the gym that I go to, like I'm getting a little frustrated with it at the moment because there's a new manager there and the weights aren't exactly always put away. And like, even if there's just one thing out of the way where you're not used to it, you just go, oh, that's frustrating. But this place was a fucking war zone, right? Yeah. It was just free for all weights everywhere, all over the floor, some on racks and some on machines and all sort of things. You just had to scavenge your way to get the weights you wanted. And so someone scavenged my fucking barbell when I was doing the fucking bench press.
Well, it's a good effort to do the workout in that situation, and when you're traveling and all the rest of it.
I couldn't get a workout in Bangkok because there's no gym in the hotel. But I've got these stretch bands and everything. I had the same problem in Melbourne.
Yeah,
I was there like the week before because it was like in the Melbourne CBD. I couldn't find a gym where I could just go single use that cost less than $50, you know? And I was just like, I was not prepared to pay $50 for a workout. So I've got these stretch straps, stretch bands, so I can do like simulated weights and all that sort of stuff. And it's fine, but yeah, it's not as good, but it's temporary fix and that sort of thing. It's really funny now. It's like, if I don't go to the gym, I feel like shit.
That's amazing. I think that's really good, Hendo. Good on you. Can I read you some feedback we got from the Abers on our submission
Yeah.
for the media award? So So you actually submitted to the ABUS.
Yes.
Because it was free.
Into the media awards because it was free. That's right.
Yeah. And my understanding of this is it's not a medal situation like other awards, right? Like it's not a sort of bronze, silver, gold type situation.
No, it's there's just someone wins one winner.
And then you get feedback.
Yeah.
All right. So let me read this out. Very knowledgeable. So anyway, we got 15.25 out of 20.
Out of 20, I think it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that's 75%. That's too
high. It's not bad.
Let's be honest about that. So the copy is very knowledgeable, guys. That's a compliment. It's a feedback sandwich. Interesting to dig that deep into the issue of VA with an expert. So this is based on our VA episode with Chris Cook, episode 67. So this is a long time ago, this episode. I don't know when it was, but we're talking over 18 months ago.
The piece of media had to be released over 2023 calendar year.
Yeah.
That was the requirement of it. So
I'm going to read you out this feedback and you can tell me how accurate you think it is, okay?
Okay, yep.
A slow start, let it down a bit.
Yep.
That's fucking true, right? Very true.
That's very true. That's so us, yeah.
But it was engaging once discussing VAs with Chris. Hendo and Dan are certainly passionate and knowledgeable about the industry. However, the production quality and length of the show could be tightened up. That's very true, right?
That's a dig. That's like you should.
That's
be
a direct
attacked.
Attack on my editing skills.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 100%. You don't edit though.
No, and I agree with that comment entirely.
Yeah.
In this episode, okay, I listened to 12 minutes of banter.
Whoever that judge was, I bet she's one of the 12.
I bet you that as well.
I bet she's one of the 12.
It's
he
Adam
or she.
Schell, I think.
Yeah.
Before the content got started, and although the informative information thereafter had some good insights, there should be some consideration in trimming the podcast to a more digestible length. All right, your thoughts on that feedback?
We are not taking the 12 minutes at the start off.
Well, I'm not editing it. That's for damn sure.
That's our shtick.
Yeah, very fair feedback though.
Yeah, very fair feedback. I think the other two were the same. I think, and I was very much. I was good to enter, and
And I actually called the winner. I called the winner because I said it would be Crafty Pint, and you said it couldn't be, but it was someone from Crafty Pint who won.
Crafty Pint, yeah, Mick from Crafty Pint.
Which makes a lot more sense than us doing anything other than getting trolled by the judges.
Well, so the thing is as well is that I shouted at Adam Schell and Joel from Aussie Beer Voyage a ticket to the ABUS. So I basically said, you've entered the media award as well. I want to be there when you guys win. So yeah. I bought him a ticket and I said, you just got to get yourselves down there. And we had a great time. It was really, really good fun with Adzi and Joel. And Matty Wolf showed up as well from Brew Baron. And nice. He was on our table as well. Had a couple of the guys from Brownstone. It was great. It was just
what was
such
the vibe of the Abers like? Was it pretty... It seemed pretty fun from what I read.
It was good. It's always a good time. Yeah. It was good fun. It wasn't a full house like it usually is. That's probably pretty much a sign of the economic times.
Oh, 100%. It's an expensive thing to do.
And yes, it's an expensive thing to do. It was just, it was a good time. And took Adzi out, Adzi and Joel out and Maddie out the next day. Actually, I took Mazin out to dinner.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't ask you. Yeah. Wait, we haven't spoken since then, have we?
No, we haven't spoken since I've been in Melbourne.
No.
So.
Okay. Well, how's...
Yeah, so I took Mazin out to Melbourne. Oh, he's gone good. He's good. He's refreshed. He's relaxed. He's back from his vacation and seeing his boy and that sort of thing. And we had this most fucking delicious dinner at... if you're ever in Melbourne, head up to Fitz. You need to take Aaron to this, mate. I'm fucking shit you not, right?
Carlton?
Is go to Bar Liberty in Fitzroy on Johnston Street, done by one of the founders is one of my favourite chefs in Melbourne, Casey Wall, who had Rockwell and Sons, and he's got a few other restaurants, that sort of thing. I can't describe how fucking beautiful this food was. It was just magnificent. It was just so good. And Mazin and I just we just said to the chef, just feed us and drink us. And
Oh, really?
Drinking amazing white wine, and they just, yeah, they just, it's one of those places where they do some really, really fancy food, and just they just
Yeah.
feature. And it was fucking, what was it? I've got the bill here.
Don't read the bill out. This is just
No,
only
I'm
going
not
to
reading
piss
the bill
people
out.
off. Don't
It was
read
a
that
lot of
out.
money,
Yeah.
but
That's a business
it was worth
expense, though.
it.
You're called Rockstar
Yeah, it
Brewery. If
was.
that's not a business
Yeah, of
expense, I
course.
don't know what is.
Exactly. Exactly. Worth it. Worth it. Because I
That's
value
good.
my time with Mazin and that sort of thing. And I really wanted to check in on him, you know, and because I hadn't seen him since after his VA and he went away and all
Yeah.
that sort of stuff. So it was good. It was really good to catch up with him, and we had a chat about, you know, lots of things, future of the industry, you know, what his plans are and all that sort of stuff. And it was just a really good chat. He's good value to spend time with.
100%. He's a great guy. I think it'll be good when he comes on the podcast. It's going to be a while, but he will at some point come back on, I think, and
Yes.
once the dust settles on everything and yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get another popular episode on our podcast because just you and me talking is clearly not cutting it for anybody. Should we get into, well, actually, this is not really news. We've got a few different articles. You sent me this one and I'd seen this pop up in the beer groups. But let's kick off
Yes.
with this one. So some craft brewers just aren't built for this market. And it was an article that basically summarized a talk that someone gave at a conference. Did you want to
Yes.
intro this one just because you sent this to me?
Yeah, look, it was just an interesting one that landed on my Reddit feed or something like that. And it was just talking about the perspective of the American craft brewing scene with, you know, over 10,000 craft breweries, and how there's and the key person being interviewed here was Scott Metzger of Craft Ohana, which is Maui Brewing Company Modern Times.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a sort of a rehash of his talk at the CBC in Las Vegas. And, you know, he just sort of, you know, was basically saying that, you know, times are tough, but we've got to earn the dollars of our consumers, and we've got to fight even harder for it. It's not as easy as it used to be, you know.
He wasn't just saying that. I think this is the first beer article about the current situation that I've read and actually agreed with.
Yeah. What did you agree with?
And well, I think what he's saying is that, and it's stuff that I've said on this podcast before, is that a lot of people get into this industry who aren't business people. And a lot of what's
Yes.
going on at the moment is
Our business problems.
our business problems that people don't know how to fucking handle. And I've seen it. When I say firsthand, I mean firsthand. I've seen it. And people start a business if they've never had a business before. They don't know what being a director is about. They don't know how hard it is to pay back debt. They just think these problems will solve themselves. And he says in this article that these problems are not unique to the craft beer industry. And I'm a little bit sick of seeing all these articles blaming excise and saying Australia is the most excise beer in the world when the entire time this business was exploding, the industry was exploding, and craft breweries were opening everywhere. No one was mentioning that Australia was the highest excise beer market in the world. Everyone was excited about the opportunities. As soon as it goes bad, it's an excise problem. And no one's acknowledging the fact that these are very, very common problems to lots of different businesses. And a manufacturing business is as hard as it fucking gets. There's no fucking harder business than manufacturing something as complicated as beer. And if you're not onto your inventory and you're not onto your finance and you don't understand that, it's going to go to shit. And I think that's a lot of what he was saying in this article. I think he was saying there's people who start brewery out of passion and they don't understand the finance. And very much in line with what, you know, we talked about in this podcast, what you said at the start of our book, understanding how much it costs to fill a tank full of beer, how much that beer costs, how long it sits there for, thinking about that like it's cash in the bank or on, you know, in your bank, and understanding how the mechanics of all that work. That's every manufacturing business
Did I
in the
say
world
that
has
in
to
your
deal with
book?
that. You said that the first, well, I mean, I added a few words then, but you said along the effect of think about how much it's going to cost to fill a tank, how much you've paid for all of those materials, how long it sits there for, how much you pay for the labor that goes into it. And then You still don't get paid when you sell it. You still got a couple of weeks at the absolute best where you'll get paid afterwards. And then sometimes you won't get paid at all. I don't know if you said that, but that's a reality as well. Sometimes you won't get paid at all. These are very, very difficult businesses to run. And I read that article thinking that's the point he was making, is that if you want to run a manufacturing business, or if you want to invest in one, you better hope that someone in the leadership team there knows a lot about manufacturing, finance, inventory, and those manufacturing business problems.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very interesting stuff.
In a possibly more positive note, this one, Nail and Beer Farm by Ferrell in their brewery from Coke. This is an interesting.
Yeah.
You would know more about the history of this. It's got a long history of
So brewers. You know, Ferrell Brewing from Swan Valley, and Nail Brewing originally from the old Bobby Dazzlers in the Perth CBD, and they basically teamed up to, I think it was like a 90-10 or an 80-20 split on a production facility. And eventually Ferrell sold to Coca-Cola, and then the agreement was that Nail couldn't get kicked out, and they were part of the deal in there. And then Coca-Cola are not very good at running a brewery. Probably stick to soft drink, and sold it to Beer Farm with the same proviso that Nail had to stay. So Nail's now under the same roof as Beer Farm. And my understanding is that Beer Farm needed the capacity so they could start to export and that sort of thing. I think that's a very smart move, particularly from a brewery that's in Perth, because access to Asian markets is easier from Perth than it is from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And,
although it did say in the article that he's got a kit sitting in a farm somewhere in New South Wales and with red tape and bureaucracy holding us up. That was a weird comment. Yeah.
That is strange. And we're trying to
grow in New South Wales, it specifically says, which is unusual.
Well, it's bought another brewery in Perth, so.
Yeah.
And so here we are. Like, it's a good story that, you know, that Ferrell Brewing is now back and independent. I don't know, you know, Beer Farm own it, but I'm not sure what their plans were for the Ferrell brand.
Well, no, but could you imagine? I mean, surely the Ferrell brand is not, I mean, it's not what it once was, is it? I mean, it's definitely not what it once was, but like who would be, I don't know anything about, you know, who works there or whatever, but who would be left there trying to champion that brand? Do you think, like, Beer Farm would want to be building their brand, right?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I don't know. It's a really interesting one. So, you know, I think since Coca-Cola took over the Ferrell brand, that the Ferrell brand has become less and less relevant to consumers outside of Western Australia.
Yes. Yeah, but this is quite a long time ago we're talking about. A lot of brands have become less relevant in that time.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see what happens.
It seems like a pretty good story there, doesn't it? I mean, there's obviously people out there that still believe in the idea of having a decent-sized production brewery and building a brand. And
yeah.
You know.
I think the export thing is a smart thing for them. So, yeah, let's see what happens.
Nice. Bring back Brendan Varus, maybe. Get him involved.
No, he's done.
Yeah, he did well. He timed it pretty well in hindsight.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
Hawks Brewing, $1 million for me. I have no interest in talking about that story, but if you want to, we can. Otherwise, we can just look at this Mighty Craft stuff, because that's probably more fun. Let's skip that. So the two links I gave you for Mighty Craft, one is a random update about them selling some better beer to the people they owed lots of money to. And the second is the April sort of quarterly update. That's the second link, because the first link refers to the second one.
Deleveraging update. Okay. Can you give me the general gist of this?
Well, they owed a lot of money to this Pure management. It was basically like a firm that they had some debt arrangement with, which they were never going to service because they're losing shitloads of money. And they swapped that. They swapped the debt owed on that for 7.5% of better beer.
Yeah.
For $6 million, which values better beer at $80 million, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, right.
But they're basically in a situation where they're fast running out of money. They've got no money left. They've defaulted on a lot of their finance, and they've formed an arrangement with this group that they owed, I assume, the most amount of money to. And instead of paying them back, they've all agreed that Mighty Craft can keep trading for a while because they'll give them $6 million for 7.5% of better beer. And they'll all try to work together a solution where all three brands merge into the one entity.
Do you want to see if we can get, just for shits and giggles, to see if we can get ChatGPT to fucking decipher it?
I summarized that as well as I could. That's only one page. The next one is a proper update. The second link is the proper quarterly update.
Yeah.
That one's 8 pages long.
That's 8 pages long. I can't tell
the it second that. Link.
Take a photo of that though. Well,
it needs to be a photo. You can load a PDF.
No. You can talk to it now. Oh, look at this.
I couldn't work out how to do that. Like, I was like, how do you even do that?
Hey, ChatGPT, if I show you a picture of a press release, can you please help me understand it?
Of course. Feel free to upload the picture of the press release I'll help you understand it.
Okay.
Have you got that? Have you got that ChatGPT? Yeah, no. I'm asking, have you used that app before?
I haven't used the audio on there. I don't know if I have that.
It's on the app.
ChatGPT, are you the latest version? Are you ChatGPT 4.0 or whatever it's called? Or you're an older one? Because I don't pay. Sorry, I'm a tight ass.
I pay for it.
No, it doesn't work for me.
Well, that's why I pay for it.
I thought that was going to be free, that version. Interesting. Yeah, I get weird answers.
Okay, so it's basically version. It's actually really cool. Okay.
Is she going to read that out to us or?
Yeah. No. Yeah, no. She's basically confirmed. What question do you want to ask it?
Well, I feel like I understand it. Well, I would ask it, is Mighty Craft going to go out of business within a month?
Hey, ChatGPT, with regards to Mighty Craft, do you think the stability of the business is, or the outlook of the business is looking good financially or looking pretty poor?
Okay, I'm not editing this space of no
From the details provided in the press release, it seems that Mighty Craft is taking significant steps to improve its financial stability. The agreement to sell a portion of its shares in Better Pure and the termination of the royalty deed indicates that the company is focused on reducing its debt. The mention of over $10 million in debt reduction across the second half of FY24 is a positive sign of financial restructuring. Additionally, the potential merger between Mighty Craft and Better Beer could further strengthen the company's position if successfully achieved.
I'm sorry, ChatGPT, you failed that assignment. well, that's so very good. Interesting.
The talking part of ChatGPT is amazing. I was using it in Vietnam and that sort of thing to do like language translation and that sort of thing. Doesn't work well in a noisy pub, but
They launched it, they said it was going to be free to everyone. It's not fucking free to me, but it is very cool.
I want the one where it does like the video in real time, but
yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's like anything. You get two different versions of every story, and it depends what you believe. But that's ChatGPT's interpretation of that is definitely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to watch, though. You know, in this, the first time I think of. So what it would have been almost a year ago when on this podcast I said that I think Mighty Craft are going to liquidate.
Yes.
It was a long time ago. They haven't said that yet, but in this update they say...
They're liquidating assets.
But no, they say more than that. They basically say that... Let me see. Strategy update. In the event that the company is unable to formalize an agreement with Better Beer and Pure within the coming months... The board considered that it would be likely to be difficult to secure the additional debt or equity funding that would be required to allow the company to continue its operations.
So Pure is one of their finance companies, isn't it?
Yeah. So it basically says if they can't buy Better Beer, this company will cease to exist.
Yeah.
And why on earth would Better Beer agree to any of this shit? Like, that'd have to be insane, right?
Do they have a choice?
Of course they have a choice. It's a minority share.
Yeah.
Well.
No, you can sell your shares, can't you?
No, they can sell their shares, but what they're proposing is, like, so Mighty Craft's a listed company, Better Beer is a private company. What they're proposing is they all merge together in some sort of publicly listed entity, I think, which would be a fucking terrible idea for a brand like Better Beer.
Yeah,
it would just keep Mighty Craft alive. And why would you want that? There's like, what value are they bringing? Like, zero. They're just they're throwing Better Beer around like a fucking seal, like a pack of orcas. To stay in business.
Yeah, except I think Better Beer is the orca and Mighty Craft is the seal.
Well, yeah, that's right. I assume they won't agree to any of it, and eventually Mighty Craft will just be liquidated for nothing and Better Beer will be able to go about their business.
Yeah. Interesting, though.
Yeah, super interesting. What about Sydney Beer Week, this Pro-Am competition? This is up your alley.
Well, let's have a look here. What are they doing, a Pro-Am?
Basically, they have an amateur competition, and then the winners of the amateur competition, or like the finalists, get to brew a beer with a professional brewery.
Yeah,
which seems like a very cool idea.
What a great idea! So Pete Anstey, who's heading up Sydney Craft Beer Week, is an absolute legend. Runs Sweeney's, which has an excellent rooftop bar in the Sydney CBD,
I've been there.
He's a very, very good operator. Francis Kenner off the hand pump all the time. That's how it goes. And so let's have a look here. So we've got a Pro-Am. So it's a homebrew competition that gets judged, and then the winners go and do a beer with a commercial brewery of the same recipe on a commercial scale. Great idea.
Yes.
This has been done before.
Okay.
I don't think, what a great idea. Homebrewers can get their beer made on a commercial scale. Gosh, I'd imagine a lot of people would be up for that.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. It's super fun.
So cool. All right. One of the things beers I had in Melbourne is Stomping Ground Gibb Street Pale Ale.
Oh, there you go. The old classic.
It's so good. So good.
Small can, but that's fine. We'll forgive him for that.
What do you mean? Oh, it is too. It's a 355.
355. It's the old Pirate Life size can.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The Stomping Ground crew were just so hospitable when we walked in there, you know, like we walked in there basically unannounced, myself and Adzi and a few of the crew were at the ALBAs the night before and all that sort of stuff, and didn't tell anyone we were going there. And, you know, within sort of 10 or 15 minutes, you know, Asher come out from the brewery, he's the head brewer, comes out. I say, Hendo, how are you going? Yeah, you guys want a beer? Yeah, shout us all beers.
And oh, nice.
The whole thing was just super, super awesome. I just had the best time and just such a lovely bunch of people, really good venue.
It's the best.
Beers are great lineup of beers there. We had lunch there actually as well. The food there was bloody good. So
yeah, fuck yeah, it's the best.
You find yourself in Melbourne, go to Stompo. It's great. Oh, Chris came out. Chris Domagala was there. I don't know if you know Chris Domagala.
Don't think so.
He's the tall bearded guy. He's from here in Brizzy.
Yeah,
but he brewed with me at Brownstone and won the Gary Shepherd Trophy, and he heads up logistics at Stompo, and he came out and we had a ball. It was just such a good day.
The best. We used to go there every year of the Abers, and we'd get there for opening. The little garage door would go up.
Yeah, that's what we got there. We got there at 11:30 in the morning. It's just the door was going up. It's like, that's the fucking, you know.
That's the move. All right. We've got questions, but I don't think we've got many. So let's get into that, and then we'll get into the Hendo Reacts. There's a little bit of crickets going on our social media, but that's okay. We'll do our best.
Don't forget to tag me after the show on Instagram.
I already have.
Mm. Oh, you've done it already?
Yeah, I fucking slid in just then.
Jeez, wow.
All right, so flog my jingle. Oh no, wait, that was my comment. We're not gonna talk about that.
Indo reacts.
Yeah, Indo no, we're gonna do that after this. All right.
Okay.
Corey Cooper, question: which Adam Schell has the glass cleaning technique, and what is the technique? Oh yeah.
Adam Schell does.
Which one? And what's
the other one?
Oh, the other one.
Yeah. It's Adzi. If you want to distinguish between, so there's Adam and then there's Adzi. It's Adzi.
Yeah.
And his technique is really simple. So basically, you have to have a dedicated one of those. You know, you get the little wand that you fill up with detergent with the little scour pad on it, that sort of thing, and the detergent goes through the scour pad.
I've got that, but yeah, I use it for dishes. Yeah, I'm going to use the same one.
Yeah,
for the
glass. No, exactly. You have to have a dedicated one just for glasses.
Yeah.
And so you use that, and then he recommends Tandil dishwashing detergent from Aldi.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then you've got to use hot water, so wear gloves and give it a good scrub and then good rinse with hot water, and then you leave it just to evaporate, and that's it. But clearly my technique is fucked because
it never works.
Show me, and I haven't been successful overly.
Well, I know when we used to run the bar, we used to wipe all the glasses. I don't really know if it was a particular reason we used to do that, like, but with a microfiber cloth. I feel like that is wiping off some stuff that shouldn't be on there.
Yeah, but that's not. I'm pretty sure if I was a Cicerone, they would say don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They teach that in Cicerone. Not that I'm a Cicerone. I don't care.
But well, yeah. You don't want to do it with I don't know anything about Cicerone, but you definitely don't want to do it with a shitty cloth. But if you do it with a good cloth. See, I struggle with this with wine glasses as well, because I'm like, if you don't want to use the same. I've got a dedicated cleaner, but it's not a spongy one. It's just basically a scourer. Yeah.
Yes.
But you don't want to dry it afterwards, but you also don't want it to be full of bubbles. You can't put them in the dishwasher because wine glasses are too brittle for that.
Yes, yes.
Beer glasses I've just put in the dishwasher, and it does a pretty fucking good job.
Well, mine gets all that powdery shit all over it, so.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I've got a $300 dishwasher from Kogan, and it works pretty fucking well.
Yeah, yeah.
I also don't drink clear beers. This is the
Melbourne Culture
Status Quo.
Oh, is it a pre-Gabs or post-Gabs? Oh, it's the winner. So what's the...
It's the winner. I checked the date. It was fucking a month ago. Not even a month ago.
Yeah, great. How is it?
This was packed fucking 3 weeks ago. It's just awesome.
Yeah, right.
It just smells so good. It's just a fucking... I don't drink anywhere near as much beer as I used to. We're not really drinking at all during the week. And then when I drink on the weekends, I kind of prefer wine. So when I have a beer like this, I'm actually appreciating it a lot more now.
How's the garden going?
Oh, it's on fire, dude. There's all kinds of shit happening back there.
Called, I love it. It's called Darren's Garden.
Yeah, we've got Darren's Garden.
Has the garden got its own TikTok?
No, it should, though. We should use the Cook with Darren TikTok for it because it's going off. We bought on Temu for about $2 the Darren's Garden. And then we bought...
Oh, right.
Yeah, and
$2.
Then we bought... Yeah, yeah. Oh, Temu's is fucking out of control. It's so cheap. And then we bought...
Hoeing you have to buy through an app, don't you?
Oh, either way. Website.
App, or you can buy it on the web. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then I got a Hoeing and Easy sign. That one's for Aaron. And then we got another one. We got a sign that we haven't put up yet that's sitting in the kitchen. And Tilly last night, who's 6 years old, she comes out and she can read. But like you kind of forget she can read because she's quite little.
Mm.
And she's like, what does that sign say? And Aaron's like, oh, it says... I couldn't give a succulent because succulent's like a type of plant.
Yeah.
And Tilly's like, I couldn't give a fuculent. And she spells it out like that. Because that's what it says.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but anyway, in terms of actual stuff in the garden, it's fucking amazing. There's all kinds of shit going on back there. It's all going really well.
You guys, every time I see you on Instagram, it's either you or Aaron have just got...
Mm.
The trolley at Bunnings just stacked up with potting mix.
Oh, last weekend was out of control. We went.
How many cubic meters have you bought? You know, you can get a tip truck just to drop that shit on your front.
We got a tip truck, and then the dirt. Yeah, it's pros and cons. With the tip truck, I got 2 cubic meters put out the front, and then I had to wheelbarrow it in a shitty wheelbarrow around the back up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
It was very painful. I got about halfway up the garden beds, and then we just decided to. get bags from Bunnings. It was way easier and they're better quality. And it was more expensive, definitely, but it's good shit we got in there. And everything is growing. Not everything's growing well, but most shit is growing pretty well. So
what are you growing?
We're farmers now. Name a thing that's a herb or like name a thing that's a herb. Let's just start there. Name a herb.
Okay,
I may or may not grow in the garden. That's just
growing weed.
No, I'm not growing weed. I don't smoke weed. And it's not for me.
Basil.
Yeah, basil's cranking.
Cilantro, coriander.
Yeah, coriander's going pretty well. That was last weekend. Okay. Yep.
What about any saffron?
Not growing saffron. Saffron's a weird. What do you use that shit for?
Yeah, it's the red thing that makes things go red.
Yeah, no, I'm not growing saffron.
It's very expensive, though.
Yeah, no.
What about so you got basil? Have you got parsley?
I got parsley.
Yeah, which type?
We've got a few different types, I think. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah,
but the ones we weren't sure about, we've got little signs in there.
And the Italian parsley, or whatever, is the shit one.
Yeah.
So the one that you make tabbouleh out of, which is just so pungent and bitter, it's ridiculous. Mm. Any vegetables?
Oh, I mean, there's so many more herbs you haven't mentioned, but that's fine. We can move on.
Okay.
What else name more herbs.
I can't name that. I don't know that many herbs. Fuck. Oregano? Fuck.
You said that already.
Did I?
Yeah. Okay. What else have we got in there?
How many more herbs do you need?
We've got thyme. Thyme's a good one.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got it's mint.
Good for steak. Yep.
Mint's good.
Rosemary. Everyone can grow rosemary. That
rosemary,
like
we've got shitload. We've got a huge rosemary bush, and we've got more we're planting. Got Vietnamese mint, which is an interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely.
One. We've got vegetables. Lettuce are vegetables, right? So we've got a lot of different types of lettuce, like three or four different types of lettuce. Rocket. We've got Tuscan kale, I think, which is like a type of kale. Name a vegetable then, or a fruit.
Potatoes.
That we might.
Or tomatoes you'd be growing.
Tomatoes we've got. We've got one tomato that's growing.
Yep.
But we've got a few trees.
And you got two different types of lettuce. What types of lettuce have you got going?
Lots of different types of lettuce. I couldn't even name them. Different colored ones, different looking ones.
Yep. Iceberg, cos. Yep. The fancy lettuce.
Mm-hmm. Purple lettuce.
Oh, they've got the purple lettuce. That is fancy.
Yeah.
What about I mean, what else would you want to grow?
I mean, there's corn, all kinds of corn, shit back corn? There, dude. We got corn? Carried away. There's all kinds of shit we'll corn? Probably never need. We didn't do corn. It's not a bad idea.
Rhubarb? You got any rhubarb?
No, no rhubarb. You don't need that. We don't have much fruit. We've got fruit-wise, we've got strawberries, quite a lot of different strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Finger lime, is that fruit?
That's a fruit.
Yeah, some sort of fruit. Avocado is technically a fruit.
That's going to take a few years, though.
Yep.
That's basically a tree.
Yep, it's a tree. Lemon. Put a lemon tree in there. The finger lime's a tree, too. It's about that big.
Yep.
Apparently,
if you pee on them, that helps.
Erin actually said that today, and I thought she was lying, but the fact that you said that makes me think she wasn't lying.
No. Go pee on it.
Okay. All right, I will. Chilies. I mean, I could keep
chilies,
going.
Chilies, yeah, this cool. Do you know where you need to get chilies from?
Where?
Adam Schell.
Okay.
Why? He loves growing chilies.
Shallots, chives.
How's this? You want to hear something funny? Adam
Schell
loves growing chilies, but he hates eating them.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
Well, no, I think he does it for the sport.
Okay.
Or the sadism. I don't know. One
that's
of
like
two.
Someone who drinks non-alcoholic beer. It's weird. Right. Well, Adam Schell, if you're listening, which one? I don't know. Send me some chilies. Let's do it.
Chilies, right. Chili seeds.
Okay. All right. Darren Gittins. Dan, are you sick of answering Black Ops questions yet? Well, I mean, no one's really asked me any Black Ops questions on the pod.
Do you know why? Do you know why they're not asking you Black Ops questions? Because they're fucking asking me.
Okay.
Do you know how many Black Ops questions I got when I was in Melbourne?
You know my
and I'm like
my ex-wife told me the same thing. She's like, I'm sick of fucking answering questions about Black Ops. I'm like, no one's asking me any questions, which I find fucking bizarre.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking shit. Everyone's asking me questions. I'm like, the only time I speak to fucking Dan is on the bloody podcast. And even then, he hasn't worked for Black Ops in 18 months. What the fuck do you want to know? Just pick up the phone and call him. You got his number?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've talked to a few people about Black Ops, but not much. And I don't know, I think it's better for it just to play out the way it's playing out. And it's pretty obvious, you know, what's happening. Yeah. Darren Gittins, what style is going to take out Gab's People's Choice this year?
I'm going to say a beer with strawberries in it. There are a few this year.
Wow. Okay. I like that. Has a strawberry beer ever won that? I'm trying to think.
No. Oh, raspberry has with the Bacchus raspberry pilsner.
Oh, yes.
That beer was good.
Strawberry. Yeah. Is it hard to brew with strawberry? I know we did one year, but it's quite hard to brew with.
It's hard because it's like you need a lot of strawberry to get any strawberry flavor out of it. You never get any color out of it.
Yeah. No. You don't get the color, but you get the aroma, don't you? More than anything else.
Not even.
If you use a knife.
You got to use a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Andrew Lang question. Where and how does one send beer mail to? Oh, fuck yeah. Send us some beer.
Yeah.
Dude, we don't get any free beer anymore.
I got some sent some sober the other day, but I haven't. I've got before I went to Melbourne, so it's just still sitting there.
Okay, well, that's good. I don't. Oh, you know, and I got some Traveller not that long ago. So I lie.
Good old Benny Tower.
I'm looking at this guy's profile. He's put a Boston the Brewer. He's put a Volvo in the group, and then I mean, I'm trying to work out where he works. But I know. Do you know Andrew? I don't really know Andrew.
No,
I don't think. I probably do. I feel bad. I probably know him, and then I just don't recognize him in the photo. Fucking send it to me. Send it to East Coast Roast, 42 Lawrence Drive, Narang.
Yep.
We'll come visit. We'll fucking.
And I'll get my hands on it.
Yeah. Send it to Hendo. How do they send it to you, Hendo?
I'll just jump on the motorbike. Not the scooter. I'm not on the motorbike. The scooter can't go on the M1.
Come down and grab your.
Pick it up. Well, I haven't seen your fucking coffee shop yet. So.
Yeah, come down.
Probably just a weekend. It's nice when they get beer
industry people through there.
It
doesn't happen too often. I think we've two beer industry people have visited. No, actually, three beer industry people have visited my coffee shop twice. Do you want to guess who they are? You probably won't guess, but I can tell you just for fun.
Benny Taylor from Traveller.
That's a very good guess. He's come down twice to give me beer.
Yes.
Legend.
Yep.
I'll give you a hint for the other ones if you want.
No, I'm going to have a guess first.
Oh, wow.
What about Hugh from Revel?
Hugh has not visited. No.
Okay.
That's a good guess, though. I think that's a good guess.
No, I'm out of
You know, I went to school with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your other guess?
I've run out of guesses.
Mm. Okay. One is from a raw ingredient supplier to the beer industry.
Yes.
And the other is a brewer that I used to work with. He's only really visited out of convenience to get a coffee, in fairness, and to say hi. And because he was close by.
Yeah, yeah.
So brewer I used to work with at Black Ops and a raw ingredient supplier to the beer industry.
Are you talking Gaz?
No.
Okay.
No. Someone who's it's hard. He worked at HQ mostly.
Oh, Toshi.
Toshi. Toshi, good guess.
He's a good boy.
Yep. Toshi's come in twice to say g'day. Always good to see Toshi. Raw like ingredient Toshi. Supplier to the beer industry. Sales rep.
Oh, geez, I'm probably going to say probably Fergus, actually.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good work, Hendo. That's pretty good work.
Fergus gets around. He's good value.
He does, but I appreciate it. It's nice. All right. Andrew Lang, I'm heading to Danthorpe next weekend. What is the Stanny Brewhouse like, and is it worth a visit? The Stanny Brewhouse?
That's the one that's in town. It's in town. Yeah. I actually haven't been there. I was actually due to go there at around Christmas time when I was out at my brother's. He lives literally just on the creek, about 50 metres up the creek from where the Stanny Brewhouse is. I hear it's okay. I think a Perko went there.
Yeah.
And he said it was okay. And so, yeah, go check it out. Definitely go support a local brewery.
What about
stay away from Castle Glen, though.
Yeah, fuck Castle Glen. But I had a good time at the is there a monkey one out there? What's the other brewery?
Brass Monkey.
Brass Monkey. That was a good time. I mean, the guy was The guy was an interesting fella, but it was old school kind of country town, small, you know, I don't want to say homebrewy. The beer was not bad. And it was just like, it was a good experience. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to, because where I'm going next week, I'm going to a wine region next week. A good one. You know what I mean? I'm going to the Hunter Valley. They don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but when you go to Danthorpe, you don't want to have those expectations that are.
The wine's still good there.
No, I'm not saying the wine's not good there. I'm saying if you go there expecting a hospitality or a beer experience or a wine experience, that is the same thing that you're going to get at the best breweries in the country, the best wineries in the country, you're going to be disappointed. It's a fucking small country town.
Yes, it is.
With its charm, but it's not.
It's got charm. Charm.
You have to have the right expectations.
Yes. Low is the right expectation.
Well, I don't say low. Jesus. I didn't say low. I just said don't expect.
Mate, under promise, over deliver, mate. Under promise, over deliver.
That's fair. Okay. Low is actually a fair call. All right. Darren Giddens replied, Granite Belt Brewery is great. Food really good. Beer on point. On-site cabins would be great to stay in. Like, I went there. The beer was, it was weird. It might have been a bad time.
That Happy Valley.
Granite Belt Brewery. That's wrong. The big restaurant. The restaurant is cool. The beer was not good.
No. Yep.
Stanley Brewhouse. Yeah, I know. Okay, he wasn't aware of that one. So there's three breweries there. All right, cool. Nice. Just drink wine, mate. Go to get fuck beer. Go wine.
Go to Ballandine Estate.
Oh yeah. Go to Ballandine Estate. Go to
Tobin. That's my sister-in-law's winery, so definitely go there.
Definitely go to Ballandine Estate.
She's not there at the moment, so don't ask her. The Barrel Room, yeah. Go have lunch at the Barrel Room. It's fucking excellent. Go get a nice charcuterie platter at the Barrel Room.
Go there. Cafe at Ballandine Estate. Go to Tobin on the way.
Don't ask for Robin. Don't ask my sister-in-law. She's currently in Spain. She's doing the Camino de Santiago at the moment. She's about a third of the way through the 800K walk.
That's insane.
I know. I want to do it.
You should do it. Go to Balancing Heart. That's my favorite place in Danthorpe. Go there.
What's that?
Balancing Heart. It's a winery. I don't actually know if they make wine there, but they do pizzas, and it's on this beautiful property. Looks over a lake. It's all outdoors. It's fucking awesome. I want to go back to Danthorpe, but I'm going to Hunter Valley next week, so I don't give a shit about Danthorpe.
Yeah, good.
It's going to be awesome.
I need to go out in the next few weeks, I think. So,
that's it. That's it. We've got, if you want to, so here's your options, right? We can wrap it up, or we can do Hendo Reacts, or we can do Hendo Reacts to F1 memes. They're the
Hendo options. Reacts F1 this time.
Hendo Reacts, grab a beer, just sit back, it's time to relax. Hendo Reacts.
All right, I'm not hearing anything, but that's okay. I think we're a bit slow. Oh, here we go. And then remember, you got to speak it out because it's not true.
Okay.
Imagine being a rise of Monica. Oh, jeez.
Can you hear the sound?
Yeah.
Been a rise of Monica. It's so good. It's so true.
So remember the ABBA feedback, Ando, was we do a stupid segment at the end on an audio podcast and no one can see the video. So you have to explain.
This is the stupid segment at the end.
I know, but you have to explain what's happening in the video as you watch it, I feel. Oh, this new feature thing fucked me as well. It's all going to go to shit. This new feature thing won't go away. See, same thing happened to me and just fucks the whole thing. Let's just restart that. Right, explain what you're seeing.
It's like a miniature. It's a miniature of Monica. It's so cute.
Little miniature Monica.
Like, it's not even
slow car.
Well done.
Like,
turn the racing and everything.
Yeah. Wait for the end. It's worth it. Even, probably not for the audio listeners of the podcast.
Rightio. They're going up the straight. They're getting up the bow view, whatever it is.
Look at this shit. It's close.
It's amazing. Like, it's actually real. They actually go around the you can there. Are we going to get the spin out there? No.
That is pretty cool. There was.
That was very good.
There was an overtake in there, so it's not realistic. But other than that, good time.
There was one overtake in Monaco last weekend.
Oh, Logan Sargeant. That he doesn't count.
No.
Oh, I sent you this. You know what? I had this ready last week when I didn't know we were doing the pod. We were skipping the pod.
Yes. Yes.
And I saw this on Twitter and sent this to you. This is basically a video of
yes.
Leclerc like missing the barrier by yeah. like what must be like a centimeter.
He lives there. He doesn't want to trash the place.
And did you see this like exact image was on the telecast?
Did you see Stroll do it though?
Stroll smacked it.
Yeah, he smacked it and bent his buddy.
Stroll smacked it after Alonso gifted him a free pit stop.
Yeah.
And then he smacked the barrier.
Yeah.
That's insane, isn't it?
It's amazing though. It's a really boring race, but
by far the most boring race of all time.
But it's I don't know. I don't even know if it should even be there.
It shouldn't be there. It's fucking shit. And Imola as well. That was dog shit. Those races should not follow each other.
Imola needs to go.
I
started watching Imola and I was like, I bought a VPN just so I could watch KO.
No.
And it wasn't even worth it.
Someone needs to explain to me why you have a car race where the cars can't overtake each other. Can you explain that to me? You can't, can you?
No, I can't.
That's fucking stupid.
Buddy. This is amazing. Okay,
you saw this?
This is the F2 where one of the cars was broken down from the inside of the tunnel.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness me.
That was just like,
we knew it wasn't an
it was like Darugula, wasn't it? Hudja.
Oh, that is so fucked up.
I think it was Darugula was stuck, and then Hudja was just bombing it through.
We're on board with Isaac Hudja. You've got the LED board.
Oh, God.
Oh, my word, that was nearly horrible.
Oh, you. Yeah. Yeah.
Easy. You don't want to have the brown undies on, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine what would happen if, I mean,
sort of reliability issue, and
that's insane that they didn't crash. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness me. Right, we knew it wasn't an accident because we would have cut to it in the tunnel, but how? That's about as dangerous as it gets around Monaco.
We're
on board with Isaac
Hatcher. No yellow flag.
You've got the LED
board. Even in slow motion, it's fucked up.
Oh, my word, that was nearly horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, you're... Yeah.
Can you imagine what would happen with if he'd just seen him and so just turned to the left and clipped the back tire in the middle of a tunnel?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'd be game over. Yeah. Yeah. It's just there was just some phenomenal driving. Phenomenal driving. So
yeah, F2 was actually there was another.
I like watching F2.
Did you watch the F2?
I enjoy watching the F2 because the racing's always really close.
They overtake nonstop. There was an overtake with a Bearman overtook Antonelli, who are two guys that are basically certain to be in F1 either next year or the year after. So that highlight will be replayed for a long time, I'm sure. No overtakes in the F1. They don't fucking overtake. They just follow each other around. That's it. Well, there's a couple of Hendo reacts if you're up for it. Otherwise, that's it.
No, we'll do them. Save them for next week.
Nah, I couldn't be bothered. They'll be old by then.
Okay.
Just ditch them. I'm too busy.
Okay. All right. Resubmit him.
All right, Hendo. Oh, good to talk to
good
you.
Good to
mate.
Be back. Take it easy, mate. You
we're back at
I'll,
it.
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll be away next week, but we can probably figure it out.
Yeah, okay. I'll just drop your message. I am in South Africa this month, and
of course you are traveling to another continent.
Fucking no way am I going to be up at 4:30 in the morning or something like that to. Oh, hang on. It'd be like mid-morning or something, wouldn't it?
I don't know, but it feels like a tomorrow problem.
Yeah, it's a later problem.
I've got editing to do.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Love your work.
Catch you next week.